Hi, everyone, and welcome to the State of State Schools podcast. I'm your host, John Stamper, Christian author, former homeschooler, and former public school teacher. Once a week, I'll give a quick recap of the most important headlines in education and pull back the curtain on what's really happening in our kids' schools. If you're a teacher, parent, or homeschool family, this podcast is for you. Thanks for listening, and let's get started. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 63. Everything's coming from the week of August 19th. I have four topics to cover today, and I'm going to start and finish this episode with some positivity, sort of a positive sandwich, if you will. We've all heard of the drag queen story hours that have been taking place all over the country. You might also know that over the last few years, Christian actor Kirk Cameron and Brave Books Publishing have responded to these drag queen story hours by hosting Christian, conservative, wholesome story hours. In the last year alone, over 10,000 people have attended over 300 different story hours in 46 states. And this last weekend, Americans around the country held a major event called See You at the Library Day. Cameron, along with Brave Books Publishing, works with families and groups across the country to read books that promote a biblical worldview and to discuss what the Bible has to say about issues like gender ideology. Cameron explained how the books read taught children and families about creation, freedom, and the value of every life, including the unborn, the elderly, and the disabled. So there are reasons to be encouraged today, even though it seems like the whole world is turned upside down. Just like this See You at the Library Day is a response to the perverted drag queen story hours, we can and should be ready and willing to respond to whatever call God puts on our lives. If you're interested in hosting your own family-friendly, wholesome, Bible-based story hour, check out Brave Books. Maybe you're part of a homeschool co-op. Maybe you're involved in your local public school system. Maybe you're part of a church ministry. Whatever the reason, this might be something that's right up your alley. Second, I wanted to briefly discuss some of the latest research from the Cultural Research Center in Glendale, Arizona. But first, what is the Cultural Research Center? Well, the CRC describes itself this way. The CRC, quote, conducts the annual American Worldview Inventory, as well as other nationwide surveys regarding worldview and cultural transformation. National studies completed by the CRC have investigated topics related to the family, their values, lifestyle, spiritual practices, and politics, end quote. The CRC is led by Dr. George Barna, director of research and a professor at Arizona Christian University. George Barna is a veteran researcher of 40-plus years and an author of 60 books. His most recent book is called Raising Spiritual Champions, Nurturing Your Child's Heart, Mind, and Soul, which I would recommend for parents. So if you click the link in this episode page, you can see the expanded version of their most recent research. Spoiler alert, it's not great. The research shows what you probably already know, that the number of evangelical Christians in America is continuing to decline with each generation, and so is their influence on the culture and society. So, according to the CRC, 10% of American adults claim to be evangelical Christians, 10%. And only one-third of that 10% claim to be born again, which means only about 3% of the adult population in America, that's about one out of every 30, is certain about heaven, hell, and eternal life. Now, the same number, about one-third of evangelicals, one-third possess a worldview and lifestyle that's consistent with biblical teachings, one-third of evangelicals. Again, that's about one out of every 30 adults. Now, just stop right there and think, how much can our culture really be impacted when only one out of every 30 adults holds a biblical worldview? Now, I'm not trying to be negative, but the point is that if the majority of churchgoers don't even hold a biblical worldview, how are we going to reach non-believers with the good news? Half of evangelical churchgoers believe in earning salvation through good works as opposed to salvation by grace through faith. Half of evangelicals believe in earning their salvation. About half of evangelical churchgoers, 44%, do not believe in absolute moral truth. Another way of saying that is half of the evangelical churchgoing population believes morality is relative and subjective, meaning it's based on each individual's situation and each individual's moral compass. Yikes. Nearly half of evangelical churchgoers do not know the purpose for their life. Nearly half do not believe that humans are born into sin and are in need of a savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, this one's interesting. 15% of evangelical churchgoers even said they occasionally cast spells on other people. So that's just straight up witchcraft. This does not paint a pretty picture within the church. It makes it easier to understand why our public schools and our culture are so lost. The research article had this to say about those statistics, and I'm just paraphrasing. Quote, "It is one thing to say you believe the Bible is God's word, but something else altogether to consistently put those beliefs into practice. The research does not suggest that evangelicals are anti-biblical or even biblically illiterate. The study instead reveals that while evangelicals often get the big picture of Christianity, they struggle to apply core principles to everyday situations and are too often victims of catchy slogans and feel-good behaviors promoted by a culture propelled by competing worldviews," end quote, end quote. So all the data I just mentioned was on evangelical Christians and evangelical churchgoers. But what about the rest of the population? What about non-Christians? Well, there's a lot of data on the different generations, but generally speaking, over the last 4, 5, 6 generations, with each new generation, the number of Christians has declined, along with those whose morals, values, and lifestyles are consistent with the Bible. For example, 20% of millennials, ages 18 to 21, 20% say the Bible is their moral guide, compared to 37% of the baby boomers. So the number steadily decreased with each generation, and that's among the general population. The majority of adults in America reject the idea of absolute moral truth. The majority of adults in America also accept lying, abortion, premarital sex, and gay marriage as morally acceptable. So to sum things up, the big idea is that for multiple generations now, fewer and fewer people are looking to the Bible as their moral guide, even among churchgoers. Fewer people have a biblical worldview, and more people, even Christians, more people possess progressive or secular morals and values. So if things continue down this path, where does that lead? I think that a popular opinion, or one that I often hear, is that trends in the current culture are just that, they're trends. You know, it's just a phase, it's a fad, it'll fizzle out with the next news cycle or the next generation. But the long-term research shows the exact opposite is true. You can see a steady and a consistent slide away from the Bible and away from a biblical worldview, and you can see a consistent move toward progressive values and a secular worldview. So if you care about what the Bible says, if you want to see others come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, if you want to live in a nation that values liberty, then we need to do all we can to stand on God's word, to promote it, to put it into practice in our daily lives, and to actually take the words written in the Bible and live them out, not just at home, but at work, at school, in front of our friends, our family, our neighbors. Otherwise, what are we doing with our lives? The third story, Parents Defending Education recently did a report on Chicago Public Schools health classes, quote unquote, and found the nation's third largest school system is still teaching, rather indoctrinating, students with radical and straight up evil gender ideology. I know this firsthand, and I know it's exactly what's going on because I was teaching for Chicago Public Schools back in 2020, 2021, and I saw this taking place. I wrote my own lengthy report and sent it to the school board, who refused to consider anything I said, so I left. But here's what Parents Defending Education found. First of all, it's important to point out that only 31% of the elementary students in Chicago are proficient in reading. 31%. Only 19% are proficient in math. Keep that in mind. So if these kids are not proficient in reading and math, what are they proficient in? Well, starting in pre-K, students are expected to name at least three family structures and understand that no one structure is better than the other. Despite clear and overwhelming statistics that show children who come from two-parent households, where the mother and father are married and live together, those kids outperform their peers in virtually every category. But it's no surprise that CPS has gone the route of the BLM movement in disrupting the quote-unquote Western prescribed nuclear family. This is a Marxist ideology that's flat-out destructive, not just to families, but to the lives of children. Just look up the devastating data on children who are raised in fatherless homes. This is the default position for the government school system. Now, when I was teaching in Chicago public schools, kindergarten teachers were given the gender unicorn in mandatory teacher trainings. And we were instructed to teach our five-year-old students about all the different genders you could choose to be and all the different genders you could be attracted to. At 5 years old, they were being taught this. In first grade, CPS students are taught to, quote, define gender and gender identity. These are concepts that were created by and promoted by the father of the sexual revolution, Alfred Kinsey, and the man who created the concept of gender of the gender spectrum, John Money. Both were perverts. First grade students are also expected to discuss how gender stereotypes limit people of all genders. Not both genders, but all genders. By third grade, students are told to explain the difference between sex assigned at birth and gender identity. Because nowadays, sex is assigned, usually by a doctor with some implicit bias, of course, and it's not simply observed. And then, students are told to, quote, expand their understanding of what it can mean to be transgender and the concept of gender expression. So whenever you hear that phrase, quote, expand your understanding, end quote, that's how you know someone's trying to indoctrinate you with woke ideology. If it doesn't make any sense, just expand your understanding and you'll get it. And if you reject gender ideology, then you're just ignorant and you refuse to learn from the enlightened ones. Now, notice the progression from pre-K on up. It starts by defining gender and gender identity. Then it's the gender unicorn, stereotypes, all the different genders. Then it's sex assigned at birth. Then expand your understanding. And this is for kids who aren't even 9 years old yet. So by fourth grade, words are redefined entirely, and men are referred to as, quote, a body with a penis and testicles, end quote, while women are referred to as a body with ovaries. So those are no longer distinguishing characteristics. Now they're apparently just interchangeable parts and pieces that can be swapped and switched, like a Mr. Potato Head. Finally, the elementary school experience isn't complete until fifth graders learn about what else but puberty blockers. That's right. CPS wants to make sure their 10-year-old students have access to puberty blockers, which are known to cause fertility issues, a lack of bone development, and heart issues, not to mention the mental and emotional tolls on top of a mountain of other problems. So this is child abuse. Never mind the fact that 3 out of 4 kids can't read or do math, this is the vision and the motivation for the public school system. This system of government control and brainwashing goes back hundreds of years, back to Robert Owen and his failed dream of creating a utopia, then to the Prussian school system, which was the German system into the 1800s, then to the American school system, thanks in large part to quote-unquote public school heroes, Horace Mann and John Dewey. The goal has always been to create a population that wouldn't think for themselves, but was just capable enough to serve the state and to serve the purpose of those in power. Now, I've discussed this before, and Alex Newman, who does a better job, he does an awesome job teaching the history of the public school system in America. I share his resources on my website, johnstamper.org. So this is why I'm a homeschool advocate and why I was homeschooled as a child and why I plan to homeschool my children. So I encourage all of you to homeschool your kids, if only to protect them from being controlled and indoctrinated by the government school system and its perverted, made-up, confusing, destructive ideologies. And if you're a parent who feels like maybe you're not qualified to teach your children at home, keep in mind, the quote-unquote professional teachers, like the ones in Chicago, they're only having about a 25% success rate in terms of academics. And I always want to reinforce the fact that I'm not against teachers or principals or administrators. I know for a fact there are great and wonderful people in the public schools, even many Christians. But a lot of them, I believe, are just like I was. I simply didn't know the meaning of what was right in front of me. I didn't know the history of the public schools. I didn't know the significance of critical theory or critical race theory. I didn't know where SEL, social emotional learning, came from. And that's why I'm trying to share this information. But parents, nobody knows your kids better than you do. Nobody loves your kids more than you do. You know, there have never been more resources for homeschoolers than there are right now. So you have everything you need to be an effective teacher. In fact, it's built into the cake. It's the parent's God-given role. Finally, I told you I'd start and finish with some positivity, so here's the other end of the positive sandwich. A few weeks ago, I went to a conference for the Illinois Christian Home Educators, ICHE, and I met a woman named Latasha Fields from Chicago. And I learned that for many years, Latasha has been running a support group for Christian homeschool families on the south side of Chicago. It's an impressive organization led by an impressive family. And since I'm a former Chicago resident, I wanted to pass along this information. The group is called CHESS, C-H-E-S-S, just like the game. But it stands for Christian Home Educators Support System, CHESS. CHESS is an evangelistic outreach that's committed to empowering parents to take the lead in their children's education. And considering the information I just shared about Chicago public schools, along with the information I wrote about in my first book, this is an amazing resource for Christian families in Chicago, specifically if you live on the south side. So not only does the Fields family run a homeschool academy, but they run a ministry and they provide support for parents in addition to keeping them up to speed on parental rights issues. So if you live in Chicago or know anyone in and around the south side who has kids in the public schools, maybe they're wanting to homeschool, maybe they're already homeschooling and they could just use some help, check out their website and learn more. The website is www.chessup.org. That's CHESSUP.org. And that's all I have for you this episode. That's the state of state schools. Take care.